In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is offered for the repose of offered for those most lost souls. The lesson for today's Mass on the feast of the commemoration of the baptism of the Lord, the second class feast, comes from the prophet Isaiah. Arise and be enlightened, O Jerusalem, for thy light is come, and thy glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and a mist shall cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles, they shall walk in thy sight, and kings in the brightness of thy rising. Lift up your eyes round about thee and see all these that are gathered together. They are come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall rise up at thy side. Then shalt thou see and abound, and thy heart shall wonder and be enlarged. When the multitude of the sea shall be converted to thee, the strength of the Gentiles shall come to thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. They shall rise from Saba, and they shall come to thee, bringing gold and frankincense, and showing forth the praise to the Lord. Thus concludes the lesson from the prophet Isaiah. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, John saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, behold him who taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me there cometh a man who is preferred before me, because he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he may be made manifest in Israel. Therefore I am coming baptizing with water. And John gave testimony, saying, I saw the Spirit coming down as a dove from heaven, and he remained upon him, and I knew him not. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, he it is that baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I gave testimony, that this is the Son of God. This concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. You may be seated. Today we have the grace of celebrating the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord as a commemoration, a second-class feast on this particular day, which is a little bit of a grace, particularly because we get to celebrate it a second time here together. Continuing on, remember as we spoke last time on the Feast of the Epiphany, just a week ago, we talked about the four instances of Epiphany. Remember what those were? The four instances of Epiphany. Think about that for a moment. Were those four manifestations, those some of the realizations of a great truth about the person of Jesus Christ. They've given you some time there. Okay. So recall them. The first one was what? The Nativity. And that is when the shepherds came and saw that our blessed Lord Jesus is come in the flesh. And so he was manifested in the flesh before the eyes of all. Second instance of Epiphany was? There we go. It was the coming of the Magi, which we celebrated last week. Last week, the celebration of the Magi, the three kings, bringing him from gold, frankincense, and myrrh, recognizing him as God, not just of those who were called and chosen from all ages, but those who are the greater family of God, which is the Gentiles as well, who come and worship him. The third manifestation or epiphany is today's feast. That's right. Today's feast, the baptism of the Lord, where our Lord is recognized, the second person of the Trinity in his 30th year of life. He's recognized as Son of God, as the chosen one of God, the Messiah. The fourth instance, of Epiphany, and the final instance of Epiphany is what? The wedding feast of Cana. One day maybe we'll celebrate that, and maybe that one day will be Sunday. So you'll get into that. We're having all these beautiful mysteries unfolding for us right here, and that manifests him as what? The second person of the Trinity as God, because he comes in power miraculous. Power miraculous. And so these are the feasts that we're celebrating at this time, and we're walking through, as it were, each one of these manifestations during these days. That's why the Church refers to this season as not some sort of ordinary regular time, but we have it as season of Epiphany, the season of Epiphany. And if we, as the Church has always done from age upon age, that if we don't complete all the Sundays after Epiphany, before we enter into Septuagesima, which is that precursor to the Great Lent, then we pick that back up at the last week of the year before we begin Advent again, just doing Sunday after Sunday after Sunday until we've completed all the days of the year. Excellent. So before, rather than just giving you more of what I've already spoken about quite exhaustively in this year and also in years past, rather than giving you just my meditations on it, I wanted to share with you something from a man who should become a saint soon. Unfortunately, he's not even blessed yet by a grave accident, but he hopefully will in happier days. This is the servant of God, Fulton Sheen. And this is something that he writes particularly about the feast that we're celebrating now and one of his great works. I won't give you the whole of the chapter, although it's really good on it, and it goes through, really hits our reading really strongly. But I'll just go from the point where he speaks about that there is a baptism that I must, where he reminds us of what our Lord says later on in the Gospel, chapter 12 of Luke, and then move on from there through the actual meditation of the feast. That's a good preface for it. So he says here that there is a baptism I must needs be baptized with, and how impatient I am for the accomplishment thereof. Luke chapter 12, verse 50. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus was identified with sinners in the baptism and at his death. He would bear the full burdens of our guilt. In the Old Testament, the psalmist speaks of, quote, entering into deep water, end quotation, as a symbol of suffering, which is manifestly the same imagery. There was a fitness in describing agony and death as a kind of baptism. The cross must have been looming up in his thoughts now with increasing vividness. It was no afterthought in his mind. He was temporarily immersed into the waters of the Jordan only to emerge again. So would he be immersed by death on the cross and the burial in the tomb only to emerge triumphantly in the resurrection. He had proclaimed his mission from the Father at the age of 12, and now he was preparing himself to become that oblation. So now the feast. It says here within the scriptures today, Jesus was baptized, and he came straight up out of the water. Suddenly, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting upon him. And with that, the voice came from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. The sacred humanity of Christ was the connecting link between both heaven and earth. The voice from heaven which descended upon him declared him to be the beloved Son of the Eternal Father. That he was announced was not announcing a new fact or a new sonship of our blessed Lord. It was merely a making of a solemn declaration that the sonship, which had existed from all eternity but was now beginning to manifest itself publicly as mediator between God and man. The Father's good pleasure in the original Greek is recorded in the aorist tense to denote the eternal act of loving contemplation with the Father, and the Father regards the Son. So in that tense, that aorist tense, oh, this is me, not him, I can explain that to you since you don't know Greek, and he's assuming Greek knowledge here. What he's speaking about here was that because it's spoken in this sense is that it's a past action which is continuing. So it's something which happened way from the beginning, from all eternity, and yet is continuing on up to this point. So what he's saying there was that the Father's good pleasure is recorded in that aorist tense of that past action but continuing to move on and to interact with one another to denote this eternal act of loving contemplation with the Father which regards the Son. So God, the Father, always takes pleasure within his Son, has always, will always, and it continues to in all time and eternity. Continuing on with what our servant of God has to say. The Christ who came out of the water, as the earth had come out of the water at creation and after the flood, as Moses and his people had come out of the waters of the Red Sea, was now glorified by the Holy Spirit appearing in the form of a dove. The Spirit of God never appears in the figure of a dove anywhere except here. The book of Leviticus mentions offerings which were made according to the economic and social position of the giver. The man who could afford it would bring a bullock, and the poorer man would offer a lamb. But the poorest of all had the privilege of bringing doves. When the mother of our Lord brought him to the temple, her offering was a dove. The dove was a symbol of gentleness and of peacefulness, but above all, the dove was a type of the sacrifice which was possible only for the lowest of all people. Whenever a Hebrew thought of a lamb or a dove, he immediately thought about his own sacrifice of sin. Therefore, the Spirit descending upon our Lord was for them a symbol of submission unto sacrifice. Christ had already united himself symbolically with man in baptism in anticipation of his submergence into the waters of suffering. But now he was also crowned, dedicated, and consecrated to that sacrifice through the coming of the Holy Spirit. The waters of the Jordan united him with men. The Spirit crowned him and dedicated him to sacrifice, and the voice attested that this sacrifice would be pleasing unto the Eternal Father. You see what's going on there? Isn't that great? What we see right here is that the servant of God, Fulton Sheen, reminds you and I of something that's hidden here within, that you have to understand the fullness of the Scriptures in order to be able to plumb the depths of what's actually going on here today, that it's because of that dove. So to rehash what he just said here, this water of baptism, what that did, the washing united him to every other person who was here, because what is the baptism of John? It's all about repentance. And so the common man, everybody was coming unto repentance, just as all human flesh, it says in the Scriptures, Romans chapter 8, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, save this one and his mother and his father, and maybe John the Baptist too, who was right there. So all these ones have fallen. And so uniting in those waters of baptism for repentance, he is like unto everybody else. But in this, particularly in this descent of the dove right there, the dove is reminding of a sacrifice of all the lowliest of people, reminding that each of us, because of the state of sin which has brought us to here, no matter what our financial position is, we're all the lowliest of all creatures. And so the best we can offer is the lowest thing, the dove. And so seeing that, the Spirit descending in that dove was a crowning him with, this is the way where you're going to glorify through your sacrifice. You're going to be that dove which is offered. In fact, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as spoken about in our gospel. And then that voice which attested, this is my beloved Son, with him I am well pleased from all eternity. I'm pleased with him now, beginning his ministry, and I'm pleased in the future act that he will completely consummate the sacrifice, which is yet to be done. Beautiful things that are happening here, the foreshadowing of everything. When we hit any moment within Scripture, particularly these great moments in the life of Christ, they always point backward. They point to something that is happening now, and they foreshadow something that is yet to come. And so too in this, to take a little something from here, not just the idea that, which is a good thing to take from this homily anyway, to study the Scriptures and to see how these things connect to various points in the Scripture, which are hitherto that we don't have time to unfold and unpack for us, but also to see how here, when we're united in baptism, you and I have the exact same thing that unites us to all other persons who have been united in that baptism. So we're just like everyone else, no matter what our state is in life, we're just the same as sinners who've been redeemed by the waters of baptism. And so because of that, we're journeying together, no matter how great or how small we seem. And this dove descending upon him reminds you and me that we, as baptized into Christ, we take on the very person of Christ, meaning that the crowning achievements of our lives are going to be sufferings, are going to be the offering of a gift, going to be of giving what little it is, small and insignificant that it is, to unite that to Christ's suffering there, and thereby be an acceptable offering. And the Father looks upon this gift of you and I, which you and I bring with our lives, and he says, you are my beloved one. You're my daughters. You're my sons. It is you with I am well pleased. From the very beginning of your creation, even within my mind, at the beginning of all things, that where you are now, I take pleasure in you, just as you are now in these waters, but also as you find yourself here within the pews today. And finally, in the crowning act of your achievement, when all this is said and done, I find you well-pleasing. I delight in you. These are the things that our Lord wishes to remind you of me during this time, in this beautiful act of the baptism of the Lord. That it's not just something that happened in the past, or speaking about beautiful things that were foreshadowed in the past and were fulfilled in the person of Christ in time and history. But it's you and me too. The exact same thing for you and me. Because the identity that you have since your baptism has become none other than the person of Jesus Christ, the beloved Son. And so the favor of God, just like it rests upon the second person of the Trinity, rests on you and me in his person, alive and well within us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.